Flushing girl from Flushing. The nanny named Fran.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Miss Fine.
Wow. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. The series finale of Oh, Mr. Sheffield. A podcast about The Nanny, a hit sitcom from the 90s starring Fran Drescher. I am Sean DePasquale here with...
Toria Sheffield.
Yep, but good news. Good news. We've decided to split this up into two jam-packed finale episodes. The reason, our thinking being that though the episode aired all as one, it is split into two on... HBO or on HBO Max or Max on Max. And because of that, you know, it makes a little more sense, first of all, as people find the show over time. And then if they find this podcast, it'll be a one-to-one with all the episodes matching up. Plus we have more room now and, you know, technically we get like a little extra bonus episode. So we figured we'll break these two up. And we will take our time cruising through what I think personally was bonkers finale episodes.
Yes. Yes. And also just reminding everybody that an interview or our interview with Mr. Peter Mark Jacobson, Nanny co-creator, that is coming up. And we have decided we're going to air it, or we're going to kind of tag it onto the second half of this finale, and we'll put time codes and all that stuff. So, you know, if you're like, oh, I just am in the mood for the interview right now, you can skip ahead, or you can just hunker down and just make an afternoon of it, you know, make a day of it with part two of the finale and the interview. It was such a, can I just say, we had such a lovely time. We'll talk about it more, but you guys should be excited.
He was so gracious with his time. He answered, I feel like we exhausted every potential question we could have asked that man. Like, he was great.
You know what? I actually had a question that I realized after, but I'll get into it when we actually do the interview.
Up.
I know.
Well, let's scrap it and not release it at all now.
We're just hey. Delete everything.
Hey, it's not perfect, so we're not releasing it anymore.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
All right, so Toria, what is this episode about?
This is the episode where Fran goes into labor and Niles asks Cece to marry him one last time. And yes. I believe that this episode aired May 12th, 1999. Let me 100% double check. Yeah, May 12th, 1999.
The height of people freaking out about Y2K.
Oh, yeah.
That was happening, right? Oh. What else was happening in 1999? Everyone's very excited. We all are getting ready. We all had bought, which really should have been the last of these glasses, but was the 2000 glasses where it was 2000, and then you had like the eyes for the zeros. That was really the best. Yep. It doesn't really work in 2024, and people keep trying to force it. But it doesn't work.
Also, we keep saying 2024. You know, this means that this May will be 25 years.
Hachi Machi. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I know.
And this was May? So yeah, let's see. What else was happening in May? Years. Ready? This May of 1999, the Oklahoma tornado outbreak, the Kosovo War. That's about it. That's really two Swedish police officers were wounded by bank robbers.
Just check out the Billy Joel song and we'll be like, da 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 da.
We didn't start the fire.
And then it went away. So, okay. We start off with Brand and Maxwell. They're on a beach kissing and you kind of see them from like the neck up, and Fran turns to Maxwell and she's like, you know, are you still attracted to me, even though I gained a little weight during pregnancy? And then we pan out to reveal Fran Drescher in a fat suit. And I wrote, this was the era of fat suits. And I wrote, Monica from Friends, the movie Just Friends, Shallow Hal, The Nanny. I'm sure we could keep going. Like, the world loved a fat suit.
Well, what's interesting is my note was, wow, we hated fat people in the 90s. Because, like, yes, there were fat suits everywhere, but, like, all of the fat suits you just named were in the context of, ha, 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 look at how funny this person looks. They're so fat.
Oh, yeah. It was the fat. We talked about, you know what, I think the episode that it'll air last week to the listeners. You know, we talked about how there's always been, like, until very recently, there's not been a lot of body positivity and embrace of, you know, all different kinds of beauty. But the 90s were then particularly awful because then, like, being underweight was in vogue. So it was just, like, the worst of two worlds. but I will say this. Really, I will say, Mr. Sheffield still seems very much in love with Fran, so I don't really think she had anything to worry about, even in her dream. Because even in the dream, he was like, darling, you're beautiful. Let me go get you some snacks. And then she ends up going with him because he'll, quote, never be able to carry them all. And for a second, I wasn't even sure it was a dream sequence. Like, I was trying to figure out how this fit into every... I was like, oh. But so then, like,
wow, they did a huge time jump.
we cut to reveal that this is just a daydream or, like, day nightmare of Fran's, and she and Maxwell are at the baby doctor, and you know, Fran is, you know, just her regular body but with a big pregnant belly and clearly feeling very uncomfortable and feeling like a whale, she says. And so Mr. Sheffield takes Dr. Reynolds aside and goes, doctor, I don't understand. My first wife gave birth to three children, and she never experienced the mood swings, the swollen ankles, the bloating. And then Fran goes, she gave birth to Gentiles.
10 out of 10 line. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Yes.
One of my favorites. I thought it was such a good line.
Yes. It's like, just little Gentile babies are already less neurotic, even in the womb. They're already less, like, gassy.
Yeah. They're just less.
And then Fran's just like, doctor, when are these babies going to come already? And the doctor's recommending, like, some light exercise. And so, you know, we really established that the babies are going to come any day. And we also established that Fran and Maxwell's 1-year anniversary is coming up that weekend. And I just wrote, wow. Yeah. I mean, it totally makes sense. It's been a year. But I mean, I guess because we blow through these faster than, you know, the actual episodes. But I was like, how has it been a year?
I know.
And then the next scene further establishes kind of where we are in the series, because Fran is packing up the living room with Gracie to get ready for their move to California, which is also so weird. Just because it's like, leaving New York, it makes me a little melancholy. But then we find out that Gracie has her very last therapy session too. Which I thought was a nice little, like, bookend to Gracie's, you know, often her, like, personality and subplots. But she even says to Fran, she's like, you know, Fran, I'm a little conflicted. You know, how did you know that you were ready to stop therapy? And Fran goes, oh, sweetie, it was easy. I went to therapy because I was terrified of being single. I didn't think you could even be a complete person unless you were in a relationship. And she's like, I was a very sick woman. And Gracie goes, how'd you get over it? And she goes, your daddy gave me this ring. So that's it. And, like, okay, this exact exchange made me, now I'm disappointed that Liz ended up not being on today's episode. We were going to have Sean's wife on. It's just like a really, just like a fun, you know, we've been saying we want Liz on, like, for all this time.
The whole time.
Just to get, like, her hot takes. But, you know, scheduling stuff didn't work out. But this is exactly why I was like, this will be a fun conversation, because, you know, I was thinking, you know, my negative perspective, I was like, this whole thing that Fran just said about, like, what cured me is just getting the thing I wanted as opposed to, like, actually changing internally. And I wrote, like, I think that's honestly probably pretty true of most people, that, like, I don't know that we change a lot, but that we find people that don't necessarily activate our issues as much. So it's like that thing of, like, are you really growing a lot? Or maybe therapy just helped you choose a partner who, like, was just going to work better with your baggage. Like, I don't know. But I was like, oh, I feel like that'll be a fun conversation to have, especially with a married couple, because I don't really actually have much experience, you know?
I mean, yeah, I hear you. I don't really know. I think, I mean, for specifically me and Elizabeth, I don't think that we found people that just don't trigger our shit, because then it would just be like, I think that would be boring, honestly. Like, I think what Elizabeth and I have done is we found a partner in each other who really, we really respect each other's like emotional states. So like, you know, if Elizabeth comes to me and is like, I'm feeling a way and you've made me feel this way by what blah, 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 whether you meant to or not. Like, I don't discount that. I do really try really hard to figure out like, well, why did I do that? And like, how do I stop doing that? Cause like, I don't want to make her feel that way, you know? And she does the same for me. So for us, it really is a matter of like, and it's not easy. And like, we fuck up all the time and like forget and like do the thing that we said we weren't going to do and have to remind each other. But like, it is, at least for us, like a continuous sort of journey to like try to be better for each other so that we you know, are the least, like, we both want to be the least, tumultuous thing in each other's lives. You know, like there's so much other exterior bullshit everywhere at all times that we just both want to be like safety for each other, you know?
Oh, well, it's interesting. I was like, I bet you that they have, I was like, I bet you that Sean and Liz will have a different perspective, which is no. I think it's like actually totally possible that you grow and you change. And I was like, and that's why they're in a loving marriage. And hi, I'm Toria J. Sevier. Next scene. Okay. So then we have next scene. Fran is, she's on the couch watching TV in workout gear. And Niles is, he comes in, he's like, everything's ready for the anniversary party. I booked the restaurant, ordered the flowers, picked out the cake, and I'm on my way to hand deliver these invitations now. And then she goes, oh, if all that work doesn't bring on these babies, I don't know what will. As if she just did it all. And then Sylvia and Yetta arrive with a workout tape, because again, she's supposed to do some like light exercise to induce labor. And it's really funny beat, because they end up all just like, you look, cut to the workout video, and then you just hear Fran go, I don't know how this is supposed to induce labor. And then we cut to the three of them on the couch eating snacks while watching. and actually, when Sylvia first came in, it's so funny. So these lines on paper, not that remarkable, but the way that they are remarkable, and I think they wrote it for Renee Taylor and they knew what she would do with these words, but it was literally just the line is, and I picked up some things at the counter, like at the video store, peanut butter cups, chocolate chips, licorice. But what the way she says it is, and I picked up some things at the counter, and she goes, peanut butter. She takes it out, and then she goes, chocolate chips. And she takes it out, and then she goes, licorice. Like, it was just, no, I didn't even say it right. It was like, licorice. Like, she also, was so excited. She was screeching.
Also, Yetta's workout outfit is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yes. When she comes in, Niles goes, I don't think I've ever seen you in leggings. And then she goes, do you want to see me out of them?
Also, there's a great line. Maybe we didn't get up there yet. Yeah, she's got a great line when she goes, what did you do on your anniversary? And Yetta goes, we fled Poland.
Yes, that comes later. No, that comes later, because Maggie goes, what'd you do, Sylvia? And she's like, oh, we went to Puerto Rico. And then, and you, Yetta, we fled Poland. Okay, so we established Fran's been trying to make these babies move. And then we go to the anniversary party that night, or maybe a few days later, and, you know, it's a big, nice, fancy party, as rich people do, and Morty actually gets up and he sings a song, a lovely song.
It was cute.
It was time after time, but not like the 80s one. not like time after time. It was time after time. Can't sing for shit.
It wasn't, if you're lost and you look and you will find me time after time.
Not it would have been better if it was that.
He also dances with Maxwell, which I thought was really fun.
Oh, this is one of my favorite jokes, and it made me love Morty, where so he sings the song, and Fran and Maxwell are like dancing and holding each other and looking at each other super lovingly while they sing, while he sings, and they like really let that moment breathe, which was good for the finale. And then when he's done, Morty comes over and he goes, "Hey, may I cut in?" And then he grabs Maxwell to dance, like as a goof. And then and then she's like, "Dad," and he goes, "I was thinking about that while I was singing." I just loved that little character detail that he's like so pleased that he thought of this hilarious joke while a second ago. It was such a real. It felt so real.
It really did.
And then we kind of have this this nice little sequence where we're kind of you know, moving to little different scenes around the party, seeing what everyone's up to. And so Sylvia's dancing with Mr. Sheffield, and then Niles is dancing with Cece. And in fact, Cece's like, "Isn't life strange? We hated each other for 20 years. I mean, every time I saw you, I wanted to retch." And Niles just goes, "Dip me." She dips him. And then like Maxwell brings Fran over to the window and points to the sky. And he put, "I love you, Fran," on the Goodyear blimp.
Hey, did you notice the boom mic in this shot?
No.
Yep.
Where?
Right as they cross to the top of the window, they like walk up some steps to get to the window. Right as they go, the camera sort of pans up to follow them, and you get like a, you know, second and a half boom mic in the shot, and then it adjusts, and then the camera moves a little bit more and you see it adjust again. And it's my favorite thing to find in film and TV. I love when I see a boom mic. It's like, it's nobody's fault, it happens, but boy do I love when I see it. Makes me happy every time.
I feel like there's some shows where it happens more than others. It's just, you're like, somebody's a little below the skill level that they should be with.
Yes. If it happens more than once, it's too much. But like every once in a while, you go like, "Oh, look at that! Whoops."
Yeah. Oops. A little oopsie. And so, okay, wait. So we get the Goodyear blimp, and then we go back to Niles and Cece, and he, you know, and remember, they have been hooking up like rabbits for weeks and weeks now, and they both seem blissfully happy. And this is all after, you know, they had such a terrible fight that they almost both left their jobs over the fact that like she didn't want to be with him, it seemed. But then, hey, she fell into it, and she's been getting a real wild Bangtown time. anyway. He very earnestly and for real asked her to marry him. And then now it's like, it feels earned. And he even has a ring. And she kind of literally looks like she's going to be sick, and she like just runs off. And then Fran and Maxwell come over to see what happens. And Niles explains, you know, I asked her to marry me, and she just ran off, and maybe I should go after her. And Maxwell's like, "No, wait. And he's like, "Well, why?" And he's like, "Well, because Fran, who I'm sure is no longer behind me, will report back from Yenta Central." And then sure enough, we see Fran is already across the room somehow, like leaving to go follow Cece. So he's basically like, you know, Fran will go figure out like what's going on in Cece's head.
Yeah.
And Fran catches up to Cece just as she's getting into an elevator. And she goes, "Miss Backwalk." And then she goes, "Do you want to be alone?" And Cece's like, "Yes." And then Fran steps into the elevator with her and goes, "Okay, we're alone." I love that completely unself-aware. Like, you want to be alone? Okay, now we're alone. Assuming she couldn't possibly have meant like also no Fran.
Like, I just want to be by myself. Exactly. Yeah.
And so the elevator doors close, and, you know, Cece, she's basically like, you know, I don't know why Niles wants to marry me and ruin everything. Everything's going so well. What's he even thinking? And Fran's like, because he loves you. And she's like, and why don't you want to marry him? It's not so easy finding a guy like that. The man irons rags. And then just as that happens, the elevator, it like starts to shake and then it stalls. And like the lights flicker on and off for a second. And then they are trapped. Like it is completely stuck. And of course,
classic.
Moments later, Fran starts to go into labor, which
and Cece says, "Cross your legs."
Yes, and that, Cece panics. Like we come back from like I would have been a commercial break. Cece's trying to light a cigarette, and because she's so panicked, and Fran
which
like,
is
put
so
that
funny
away.
With a pregnant lady.
Yeah, well, Fran goes, "Put that away. It's bad for the babies." Cece's like, "What does it matter? We're gonna die anyway." And Fran's like, "I know what Niles sees in you," and Cece's like, "Me either." Which I think is actually like totally getting to the heart of Cece's psychology with all of this. Like as much as Absolutely. She fronted, you know, a few weeks ago that like, well, she would never marry Niles because he's beneath her. You know, the real root of this is she's like, I don't think I'm lovable. And, you Absolutely. Know, yeah, this is gonna crash and burn if he actually starts to really see me for me, you know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. She's terrified.
Mm-hmm. And Fran's even like, you know, your problem is you're scared. And then Fran starts to scream and she's like, the babies are coming. And that's when Cece's like, cross your legs. And then the pain subsides for a little bit. And Cece uses that opportunity to quickly go back to herself. Cause she's like, are you okay? Good. Then let's get back to me. And I was like, wow, but that's some growth for Cece to have even asked about Fran. And she's like, how do I know, you know, I wouldn't be making a huge mistake? And Fran's like, you don't, but you'll never know if you don't take a chance. And that mm-hmm. will feel even worse. Like even while lying on the floor with babies imminently coming, like Fran is giving really good, like emotional advice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Cece Niles stuff is always interesting to me because their relationship for so long is based in like them taking jabs at each other, you know, which like isn't really a great basis for a relationship because they're never building each other up. They're only ever tearing each other down, which is, I think, why Cece ends up in this state of mind here, right? It's because it's what you said, right? It's she doesn't believe she's lovable. And really nothing about their relationship with each other has ever made her feel that way. Because that's not the nature of their relationship, really. Right?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
I mean,
I agree.
Yeah. So like that was my read on all of this was like, well, I mean, he's never said like sweet things to her. He's never built her up and made her feel like so incredibly loved. They just like jab at each other and it's fun. And clearly there's like a flirtation there, but like, you know, to PMJ's, I mean, not to get, you know, spoiled the interview, but to PMJ's point, like it makes perfect sense to me that these two would eventually not be together because it's not real. I don't think, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So true. Oh, I can't wait till we get to that part of the interview. Audience, what's your appetites? Okay, so they're in the elevator and you know, it's just again, like Cece's like going on and on about her own neuroses about this while Fran is just like kind of trying to answer questions, but is also
she
like
pulls out a flask like, at one point.
Yes. And then at one point Cece goes, she's like, do you think I have what it takes to be a good wife? And Fran goes, no, but he does. Basically being like, you'll make it because he'll make it for you guys.
Because he's great. Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Well, and then we go to one of my favorite parts of this whole episode. We go back to the party. Mr. Sheffield is sitting next to Niles, and Niles is like completely miserable, like head in his hands, because remember, Cece had just run out on him, and he's just like, maybe I'm destined to die an old maid. Mr. Sheffield goes, literally, and starts to chuckle to himself, like truly, like as always, like, you know, what is it? Minimizing Niles's pain.
Yes, always. And
then,
always.
But then this was cute. But then he really does try to be sensitive. And he's like, well, old man, you know, you've certainly kept me happy these 25 years. And right as he says it, this woman holding flowers or like selling flowers comes around. And she's like, would you like a flower for your partner? Mm-hmm. And at first, Mr. Sheffield's going to be like, no, I mean, we're not. And then Niles just looks like off to the side, even more forlornly, like, I don't even have you, or like, I'm not even lovable for this. Or like, and then Mr. Chevy goes, I'll take the rose. or like, I'll take the red one. So he's going to buy his butler a rose. I love their relationship so much.
They're so cute. I mean, they've known each other since they were children, right? So it's like, they're adorable together.
And then, you know, then they eventually all realize that, you know, Fran and Cece are trapped in the elevator, and they like run off to go figure that situation out.
Well, that's a great line, because someone runs in and goes, the elevator's stuck. There's people stuck in the elevator, and it's like 30 floors below, and you can hear a lady talking. And Maxwell goes, oh God, it's Fran.
Yes. Well, that's my wife.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the elevator. And this scene was so cute as well. Like, now they're both sitting on the floor, and Cece is trying to distract Fran by leading them in song, and they're singing Separate Ways by Journey. And then Cece goes, everyone now. And then Fran and her start to sing, and she goes, just the pregnant girls. And then only Fran sings. And it's just so funny to say, like, just the blank when there's only two people. but it was really cute. She is really trying to keep Fran's spirits up. And then things start to get really bad. And then they hear everyone else on the other side of the door. And Cece, she yells out. She's like, Niles, like, I have an answer to your question. I would love to marry you. And he is so thrilled that he pries open these doors with his bare hands. And even like the elevator tech guy couldn't do it with like a crowbar. I think we can hear you typing. On the mic.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to change my notes here. I was adding a thought that I wanted to bring up, but go ahead.
I just don't want them to think that you're sending your emails.
No. Go ahead.
But so he pries open those doors, and they kiss, and everyone congratulates them and like surrounds them. And then they suddenly remember Fran's lying on the floor in labor. And my note here is, I am loving how sarcastic Fran is during her late pregnancy, because it's like a slightly different side of her that we don't often see. Like Maxwell's literally like, darling, you stay right there. And she goes, oh, okay. Like, as if he's the biggest idiot in the world. Cause of course,
like, I'm going to go anywhere, asshole.
Yep. And he kind of like yells orders at everybody, and they all go off into separate directions. So like, go grab Fran's go bag, go to the hospital to get check-in started. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the hospital, Fran's in a gurney, getting wheeled in, yelling for an epidural. And then we kind of have this, again, this fun little thing where we sort of just, it's like a very active shot. It's like a one shot, but we're kind of seeing, we're seeing where everybody is in this moment. And it's like, we pan over and, Sylvia's walking in, and she's going, oh, where does the time go? Just yesterday, she was a spinster, which is very funny. And then it kind of pans over to Yetta, and Yetta's sitting in front of a vending machine, and she goes, she's like, go Lemons. I love Vegas. Like, she clearly thinks she's in front of a slot machine. And then we go back over to Cece, who's walking in with Niles, and she's very nauseous. And you know, she's clearly wondering if she made a mistake. Like, you can see, like, the look on her face, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the end of the finale, part
it.
One. Yeah, yep. as it aired on HBO, it's a bit of a, like, yeah, I can totally see why, like, you know, had this aired on its own, like, on CBS at the time, it would have been, like, kind of a very abrupt ending to this episode. Because it didn't even really end on, like, a to-be-continued cliffhanger. But again, it all aired as one. But that was
I loved,
one for us.
I loved the last shot of this episode. I thought it was really, really, really good. And we don't really see – you don't get a lot of camera movement like that in three-camera shows, like sitcoms. So it was like a nice change of pace. I really liked it. I thought it was great. And I thought this was – I mean, again, it's weird to judge it as like one part, right? But I thought this was a great beginning to a finale episode, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. Very right. Funny.
Should we get into segments?
I think we should.
And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments. Mm-hmm.
Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria.
I hope you lit a cigarette during that.
I almost was like, I thought we already... I was like, this sounds so familiar, but I think it's just because maybe it sounds so right.
I don't know. You know what? It's really funny about that. I couldn't remember if I played that one or not, but it was the only one I had left. And I've got a second episode. So we may have already heard that segment's theme. And if we did, enjoy it again for the first time.
Yeah. Maybe next week we'll just do the OG.
Maybe. Maybe we will. We'll see.
Maybe. Okay.
So
favorite lines and moments.
There was a lot to love in this one, huh?
Oh yeah. Did you notice Yetta's Goodfellas shirt?
I did.
I love the Yetta. Like, she's so freaking cool because she doesn't care. She clearly got some bargain. It was black, gold letters, very, very just tacky and bold, but in like a very, like, it'd be very in style right now for like,
yeah,
people like a 20-year-old. And also I loved when Yetta goes, when my Sylvia was born, she was 9.5 pounds. And then Sylvia's like, that's not so unusual. And she goes, it was if you're a preemie.
I liked Fran saying, I can't fit into a little sports car, but I can fit into a big French restaurant.
Uh-huh. Again, I loved Mr. Sheffield buying Niles a rose. And I love Cece doing her best to lead Fran in a group song on the floor. And I love that so they good. Both got into it is what made me laugh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They sang, that was Burt Bacharach, right? I'll never fall in love again.
Yeah, what do you get when you, yeah, you know, as we all know, famously from Austin Powers.
Yep, exactly. I also really liked the, you know, I mean, we pointed it out already, but cross your leg. It's Fran screaming, the babies are coming. And Cece screaming, cross your legs is really funny.
Yeah, Cece also screams a line from Gone with the Wind where she goes, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies.
I love that. And then Fran responds appropriately with, frankly, Miss Babcock, I don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just very fun. And oh my God, we're just repeating it now because I said so many of these, but I loved when Morty cut in and the gag was he tried to dance with Mr. Sheffield. I love that type of humor. It's like not quite, here's the thing. It's not dad joke humor, you know? It's like a very specific silliness that it's my favorite. I love it when people have that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do too. I that's why I highlighted that even as we were talking about it. I thought that was so funny.
Anything else?
No, nothing that I didn't mention, really. I mean, the way I called out the Poland line, you know, the Gentiles line we both highlighted as being very funny. She gave birth to Gentiles. It was very, very funny. I didn't do this when we started, but this episode, by the way, this part one of this is credited to Karen Lucas as the writer, just FYI. And Peter Mark Jacobson directed the finale. I only specify because part two is credited to different writers, interestingly enough.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. I wonder if that's even accurate.
I don't know.
But so for Yiddish, we have Tukis and Yenta.
Yep.
And Tukis comes from, he comes from when Maxwell's dancing with Sylvia and she's like, you know, you're such a good son-in-law. I know sometimes, you know, our family can be a pain in the tukis. And instead of being like, no, of course not. He's like, oh, it's okay. I've gotten used to it. And then she has this look on her face and he clearly is like, oh no, wrong answer. And then, okay, for nanny trivia. This was from Sophia, who sent us that great email. We've referenced it a few times, and I have been using it for trivia, which makes me feel a little lazy because usually I go digging. But, you know, I was sort of like, hey, when the universe provides, you know, when the universe sends you a boat, you know, you know that old joke, right? Okay. Listeners, if you want to know the joke, we'll tell you on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll tell you on Instagram.
It's not like a dirty joke. It's just, you know, we've been babbling a lot. So for Nanny Trivia.
Yeah.
She says, as a half Russian person, I've seen a few episodes of the equivalent Moya Prekrasnaya Nanya. I'm sure that's not how you say it. I apologize to our Russian speakers who listen. And that translates to My Fair Nanny. She says, which is mostly abysmal. Suzanne Gangurski and Jane Hamill both wrote original episodes for it. Some of them were based on premises Hamill says had been rejected by CBS. The Russian version followed the original word for word until the end of season 5, when their Fran and Max did not marry. Oh, no, I'm sorry. When their Fran and Max married, Niles and Cece also paired.
Yep.
And there's a not so bad episode in which their Russian variants battle with her attempt to. And there's a not so bad episode in which their Russian variants. So I think, you know, their Russian equivalents.
Yeah.
Battle with her in an attempt to hide him from her friend. So I think she's saying that basically Niles and Cece get married at the same time that Fran and Max do, but Cece is trying to hide him from her social network after they're married.
Yes.
And instead, she hires escort to take her to dinner with them instead of taking him along. Oh, no. That's a horrible thing to do to your husband.
It is. It's a good bit, though. It feels a little dark for CBS, doesn't it? Though, like, I don't think we would have ever seen that here. Yeah.
So I guess I'm really curious, like, if they're very similar up until season 5, I wonder why it wasn't very good. I'd be curious to know. Because you'd think it would be kind of the same.
Maybe it just comes down to performance. You know, I mean, so much of this show hinges on Fran Drescher and what she does, you know, that I don't know that it would be the same show without her. You know what I mean?
That's very true. And, yes, it comes down to like the editing and the directing and the acting. And there's so many things that can make, you know, just as I said earlier, there was a line on paper that just seemed like a totally neutral line. And then Renee Taylor made it incredible. I guess you're right. I'm going to go digging for that. I bet it's on YouTube somewhere.
I'd like to
see
clips. It'd be hard though, right? Without the translations, but it would be interesting. I mean, at least for me, I feel like you'd lose a lot. I feel like the New York Jewiness of Fran, without that, I don't know what this show is either. You know what I mean? And like the dynamic
there. Like the queens.
Yeah, the like queens.
Wait, oh my God, Sean, I think I found it. Oh my God. You can find it on YouTube.
Tell me. I love it.
Okay. I mean, already like, oh my God, I think this is it. Oh my goodness.
Now we got to Google it. Now I'm typing the Russian nanny.
No, I'm sending it to you. I just sent it on Slack.
Oh, wow.
It's just like, you know, the woman who plays Fran, they did a much more generic woman casting. And so much of what is, you know, the nanny is Fran Drescher, you know, like her voice and her and the way that she, you know, her facial structure and everything about it. It would be like trying to like, you know, recast like Funny Girl with a little like waspy looking woman or something. It just doesn't, there's something about that, the way that someone like they look and the way that they sort of inhabit space that that is a huge part of it. And
Okay.
Anyway, so that was a little deep dive that maybe we'll keep it, maybe we won't. We'll see how interesting it is later. Okay. So then for the Fran or the Cece or the whoever, how did you feel this episode?
I guess I felt like the Cece because I wouldn't have known what to do if I was trapped in an elevator with a pregnant lady giving birth. I would have immediately also freaked out, I think. Like, I don't know anything about, like, I know what I know on TV. Like, give me a towel and some water, and then I don't know what happens after that.
That's so true. That's so
true. Do you know what I mean? Like every time on TV when that's this happens and it's like, oh no, we're not in the hospital. Someone rolls out their sleeves and they go, I'm going to need like a basin and a towel. And then you're like, okay, but then what do you do? So like, I think I would just be really nervous and panicked and like probably not as funny, just like scared.
Yeah. Well, and I said I related to Cece because I'm just like never sure. Dating relationships have always been very confusing to me. I feel like the last few episodes I've had big Cece energy. I've related to her.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's cause you're sad.
Yeah, no, I'm Cece with just without the money, which is
exactly.
Really depressing.
Oh no.
So that wraps up, part one, and, we're going to be back next week discussing part two. And I was just thinking, you know, you and I should, I wish that we had an episode where we just sort of talked about, I don't know, not even like, just like, oh my God, we're ending. What? Maybe we should, call a counselor, a grief counselor.
I have a whole special episode in between this one and the finale part two. That's just us talking to a grief counselor.
Yeah. Or make one of our most like empathetic friends, like sort of just like talk to us.
Maybe we'll open the next episode with just some reminiscing, and then we'll dive into the finale.
That's going to be a
but
huge
this was really fun. If you have last thoughts, I mean, we're not going to be able to do it, but we'd love to hear them. So if you have last thoughts as you're listening to this, you know, please go to Oh Mr. Chef Pod on Instagram or on Twitter and let us know, or you can email us at Oh Mr. Chef fieldpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, get some tissues because the next episode's really sad because it's the last one ever. And that's how it works.
Okay. Until next week, guys, you know where to find us on social.
That's right. And here's a segments theme we may have already heard. So please enjoy it again or for the first time again. And now segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments.
Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria.